In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. So I see the fog has lifted a little bit, so this will help for a second for me. It's good to be back with you this morning. And yesterday, I ventured out into Tampa to see the Van Gogh exhibit as it was closing. Now, I studied this over 20 years ago, so as I was walking around, I was reminded of many things. And some of those things were not only the beauty of the art, but it was the way the brushstrokes were, the way the color complemented the differences, the way some were muted in darkness and brightness. And yet, it all of this combined was through expressions of the ups and downs throughout his short life. Even though we were reading through everything, a friend of mine and I came across a piece where it said he had aspirations at one point to be a minister. We both chuckled as we were both priests standing there going, huh, we missed that somewhere along the way. And so, as we kept going through, we also came across that there were scholars who, in time, were trying to figure out the illness that he had in the late 1800s of a mental illness. In all of this, walking around and discussing his work, one truly thing stood out that I had forgotten. He believed that the beauty in the world would lead one closer to God. The responses to faith in God was as illuminating as his art was. And as I went through, we began reflecting on things. And I began reflecting on the stained glass windows in Holy Innocence, which now are more lit than this morning. So now the light can shine through and you'll see the prisms on the floor. And one of them just so happens to be the visits of the Magi, which is right up here. As I was reflecting on all of this combination of expressions, there were quotes flashing up on the screens. And they were quotes that he had recognized within himself. And I'm going to share some of these with you. Making sketches is like planting seeds from which paintings grow. What would life be if we had no courage to attempt anything? I feel that there is nothing more truly artistic than to love people. I am still far from being what I want to be. But with God's help, I shall succeed. The best way to know God is to love many things. And once again, I began thinking between Van Gogh, the art in this building itself, how each of us responds to faith differently, how God is, how we worship in our own way, and how the light shines through each piece of that reflection which is illuminated. Just as Scripture speaks to us as we read it, and when we read it aloud, it becomes alive. We begin transitioning from Christmas to Epiphany this week, and our gospel stories describe various events that manifest Jesus' divinity. The Gospel of Matthew, like other gospels, presents Jesus as the Christ, showing his ministry in death, resurrection, and intertwined in his role as the Messiah. Matthew also concerns the church, its way of life, and its response to Jesus. There are so many responses to our faith and to how we read Scripture. So in this one today, we're going to respond to the birth of Jesus by the wise men and King Herod. We really don't know much about the wise men. They have been referenced as the visit from the Magi, the wise men, the three wise men. Were they actually three? There's also been many debates where they came from, were they astrologers or not? Did they know Scripture or not? But what is important is they knew a divine revelation had occurred as the star had risen and wanted to pay homage to the child. Their faith journey begins with giving themselves to the only one worthy to worship. They had the courage to go and seek as their heart began to fill with joy. Then we have King Herod, who responded differently. He ruled as king in Judea with major cities like Jerusalem, Bethlehem, and a port city, Caesarea. His response was fear, maybe some paranoia, knowing there was the possibility that a newborn king would change his world forever. This matters because if the prophecy has come true, then he would not be king of the Jews, and his kingship would be threatened, and he would lose all power. And for him, the bigger sting is knowing that a spiritual awakening had taken place and the real one true king had arrived. Those in that time knew of the Old Testament prophecies, and they knew what was going to take place. Matthew displays an echo of an Old Testament scripture, especially in verse 6. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my Israel. This establishes Bethlehem, the Messiah, and the divinic lineage, but also references Micah 5:2. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephratah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me, and one who is to rule in Israel, whose origins is from old, from ancient days. This is a significant prophetic announcement foretelling the Messiah's birth in Bethlehem. It's a strength of hope for all people, a new true royal Messiah who will in time bring strength, peace, and justice. A ruler with divine authority, a shepherd for all of God's people. This biblical text finds expression in the divine promise of restoration as it reveals God's humble and eternal plan for the Messiah to bring salvation and eternal rule. So someone like King Herod would respond with fear. His response is predicted. However, he takes it a little further by that fear by meeting the wise men secretly rather than asking the original question when he met with the chief priests and scribes. As verse 7 says, then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had happened. Little did Herod know, or let alone read the room of the wise men. They demonstrated true humility and had already shown expressions of faith. They were knowledgeable, demonstrating a feat of wisdom and recognizing that was to come and going to worship the newborn king. King Herod did not want to worship the new king at all. He did know and wanted to know where that child was and planned to use the wise men to find him. Once again, the wise men's faith and their actions speak volumes when they did find the child. They first worship him by kneeling and paying homage to him, giving themselves entirely to Christ. Then they presented the gifts. I wonder how this would react for us or our response of our actions if we were to have this before us. Would we give the gifts first? Or would we worship first and kneel down? The wise men's hearts were full of joy and illumination as the star had completed its task, and the power of revelation was inside them. The divine guidance not to return to King Herod protected the child, and their authentic faith and willingness to seek God beyond their own needs enabled the child to fulfill the prophecy. King Herod was a king who ruled by fear and death and wanted to kill the child. The wise men wanted to worship him, which led to the true king triumphing and dying for us. Who would we want to follow? Who would we want to lead us? Who do we want to be guided by? Finding Jesus may change your life, even the direction of your life. It is how we respond and how we are to be obedient to God. Jesus came to us through God. We can trust him as he is our Savior. We must do the work of his kingdom. We are the body of Christ. Knowing God through Christ is so powerful and comforting, offering forgiveness, gifts of the Spirit, insight, the hope of living with Christ forever, and the power to God's will. To give praise and thanksgiving by initiating relationship with God, spending time with God is one way, studying Jesus' life, and getting to know him. There is nothing too complicated for God, and we are all united with God through Christ. Even in the responses that I saw in the Van Gogh exhibit yesterday, in his most vulnerable state of mind, thought of God, to love many things and for others, to be courageous, to plant seeds, and with God's help. And in the response of King Herod and the response of the wise men, how would we keep responding to what is being called before us, even if the unknown is before us? As we transition into Epiphany this week, there are two collects for prayer and thought, the one for today. O God, who wonderfully created and yet more wonderfully restored the dignity of human nature, grant that we may share the divine life of him who humbled himself to share our humanity, your Son, Jesus Christ. O God, which will be for Tuesday on Epiphany, by the leading of a star, you manifested your only Son to be the peoples of the earth. Lead us who know now by faith to your presence, where we may see your glory face to face, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. So the three wise men that we hear about responded in a way where we are led today. How do we respond not only as a person, but as a church, the body of Christ? And how do we allow the expressions of the art and the light and the faith come through that fills our hearts with joy, that illuminates to share with others? Amen.